Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run up to Lake Houston now and let's check in with Mr. John Littleton, see what he's up to. John, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, not a whole heck of a lot, sir. Just sitting here listening to the show, trying to wake up. But, you know, hey, could be trying to go fishing today, but, man, I just ain't that mad at him. You know, we were talking about that the other day, and it was my daughter. We were talking, and she said, "Well, you haven't been fishing a lot lately." And I go, "No, I'm just, you know, I'm taking a little break." And, you know, I said, "And you know, it's just, first of all, it's too daggum hot. I go to sit down in my seat last Sunday. We'd been, you know, I fished an individual and tournament at Lake Houston, and I'd been running a row of boat docks, and heck, I was, you know, fishing for about an hour and a half, and I went to sit down in the seat to move.
Yeah.
And it burned. I mean, that seat got hot.
I bet. Yeah, it gets hot.
Yeah. So I got a towel in there that I, you know, just keep in the boat, and I had, you know, before I took off, heck, I got that towel, dunked it in the water, and put it in the seat, and actually it felt pretty good, you know, cool me off some, you know, too. So, but, yeah, it's just, you know, it's just hot, but, you know, the fish bit good, Mickey. I mean, it took 16-31, you know, to win 5 fish.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have a giant, you know. He had big fish also.
He just had solids, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, he had a high 4. I don't remember, you know, how much it weighed, but it was a big 4, but it wasn't 5, you know. So everybody seemed to catch quite a few fish. It was just, I don't know, it was hard for me to catch keepers. I only had 3 2-pounders, you know, but mm-hmm. You know, it just, but I don't really ever count them, but I kind of count them in my head, you know, and that I probably had 22, 24 fish, but, you know, a lot of, you know, when we talk about this all the time, you know, a lot of these 13.5-inch fish, you know, they got to grow up, you know, but yeah, it just, you know, it was just a good day fishing, but we're gonna go. We got another team tournament tomorrow, and so we're gonna, you know, go try. My partner only had 3 last tournament in the individual also, and I had 3. I said, well, and we didn't fish the same stuff. You know, we talked before the tournament, mm-hmm. and so he's going to, you know, maybe his stuff and my stuff put together, we could scratch us out a limit. They might weigh 10, 12 pounds, but, you know, we're going to go, maybe we get lucky and catch a big one. But, and that everything seemed that I caught and slowed it, so did he. You know, it was slow. I mean, you had to throw that jig or, you know, the Texas rig, wacky worm, whatever you threw, you had to throw it and just like, keep it real slow. They did not want to move around and chase anything.
Dead sticking.
Yeah. Yeah. But I talked to the guy that, you know, won, and he said, you know, he had caught his fish early. And, you know, that's the thing with fishing, and y'all know this. It's, you know, you get on a little school early, and you can do really good, you know, in the pads or, you know, that's you catch them around the pads or – mm-hmm. in a cove or something, and you know, and then after that, Clog's old statement, the struggle is real.
Yeah,
because it is. yeah, it's it gets tough, you know. But water looks good, Mickey.
I bet it's starting to clean up a little, huh? With no river running through it.
No, you know, I had some areas that I could see a foot deep. I mean, that's, you know, that's awesome for Lake Houston.
Yeah,
it is. It just, you know, the wind wasn't bad. We had a little storm come across, but, you know, it, where I was at, I saw it coming, And I said, well, I think I'm going to run out of here. And I did. I ran out and went up north, up to West Fork. And, you know, it kind of skirted around me. You know, it got the wind cooled us, you know, cooled me off a little bit. And it was all right. But it is brutal out there. So
yeah, you get up at 1, 2, 3 o'clock with no wind. Nah, no thanks. You know, unless unless giants are biting, yeah, then you're staying. But, hey, put it on the dock.
Well, yeah, you know, we fish in our tournament. You know, we fish
you
till
gotta
3,
stay.
So gotta stay. I know we talked last night, you know, about the tournament. We had a meeting last night, and so I was talking to a couple of the guys, and we were all saying, hey, 12, 1 o'clock sounds real good to us, you know. So, but we have a few more fishermen going to fish, you know, that wasn't at the meeting. So I guess they'll talk about it a little bit before the tournament. But, you know, 12, 1 o'clock sounds real good to me.
Real good.
You know, but.
Well, you know, it's not really that bad out on the water. It's just when you get back to the dock and you get on land, then it's really hot.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that sun drains me. I mean, it just, I got home, Mickey, and I left my boat in the driveway. I didn't even put it up. You know,
that's what I do when I get in. It's hot like that. I just back it in and don't even unhook or anything. I just go get an AC and chill out a while, and then wait till late in the evening when it cools down a little bit and you get a little breeze going, then go out and clean your boat up. You know.
Yeah, I didn't even do that. I backed it in the driveway, unhooked it from my truck, and left it. It's still sitting there. I'm looking at it. It just still sits there. I'll probably get 14 letters from the Civic Association.
Yeah, HOA. So
they don't, you know, it's all right to leave
nasty.
A broken down car with the hood up and tires off all week. You can do that. But you can't leave a boat in the driveway.
Oh, don't leave that boat in the driveway. Oh, it's an eyesore. I think it's cool looking. But, you know who everybody in the neighborhood who likes to fish and everything. We've gone crazy.
I've had people,
it's so stupid.
Yeah, I've had people stop by and, you know, that I haven't talked to in a while or whatever. And, hey, I didn't know you fished. I don't ever, you know, see it. Because I keep it here at the house, but I keep it, you know, covered up and then out of sight. So, But no, fishing was pretty good for everybody. Everybody caught fish. It was, we had a couple guys that caught fish, but they're, you know, she only paid one place because we didn't have very many boats.
Not enough entries, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of guys, if they aren't in contention, you know, for Angler of the Year or to fish the championship, they kind of, you know, slack off fishing, you know, through the year, but, you know, toward the end. But some of the guys, a couple of the guys had some fish, you know, but they didn't even weigh them in because they weren't, you know, they weren't going to win anything. So, you know, they just let them go.
Bonus points. If you fish all of them, you get so many points added to your total. It keeps everybody fishing.
Yeah, what she does weight. So whatever your weight is, it adds up to the end of the year, and whoever has the most weight gets Angler of the Year, you get a trophy, and you get to fish for free the next year. So, you know, which is good. You know, that's several hundred dollars, you know, by the time you add up all the entry fees.
Sure.
So then, you know, I just needed to fish one more. But championships, I know I was looking at the schedule last night. We were going over it, and September, it's 3 weekends in a row, 2-day tournaments, back to back to back. And fish are going to get beat up.
Well,
Lake
they
Houston.
Are. Well,
yeah,
hopefully it'll be a cool September this year. We'll get an early fall.
Yeah.
A little bit cooler because sometimes Septembers, even Octobers are hot.
Yeah. We get those 2-dayers, too, you know, Saturday and Sunday. And, man, that gets a little tough on an old man.
Yeah.
But, you know.
How old are you? What's your age up to now, John?
68.
So, you're getting there, man.
Yeah, I know it. I feel it.
Yeah. It's,
you know.
Wait till you hit 70, then it really starts. It changes faster. You know, you're just kind of creeping through it now and kind of going downhill a little bit. When you hit 70, boy, you notice it about every 6 months. It changes.
Yep, yep. I know it. Them 2 days are good, and then you know my partner. He'll go out and pre-fish a little bit, but I don't. You know, he asked me about this week. I said, What's the use? We know where we're going to go. We know what we're going to do. You know, we're just going to go fishing. We're good in the standings to make the championship. So, you know, we're just going to go. And hey, if we win a little money, that just helps out all the way around. But,
it's in your blood, you know, all this tournament fishing. Yeah. You've been doing it forever. Can't walk away from
forever.
It.
No, it's, I could be doing a lot of worse things than that. You know, I don't drink or any of that. So, you know, it's, I know a lot of, I say a lot, there's a couple of these guys, I know they show up on tournament day, but man, they look pretty rough.
I used to see that a lot when I had my Troutmaster tournament. Those captains meetings and parties were insane, man. We had a blast.
Yeah, when I was
those
traveling,
guys were
fishing,
animals, total animals.
Yeah, I'd see guys, you know, when I was traveling fishing BASS and FLW and all that. Man, you know, they'd show up on tournament day and it's like, okay,
death warmed over.
I don't have to worry about him tomorrow today. So, you know,
that's ones I'd always worry about is ones with a hangover. They'd slow their presentation down. They'd catch bigger fish.
One guy told me,
he said, man, I can't fish unless I got a hangover. He said, I'll work my lure too fast if I'm feeling good. I said, man, you must like feeling miserable. Boy.
Yeah.
I did that now.
Years and years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, couldn't do it.
Those guys were gladiators, man. They live for misery.
Yeah.
And you gotta love misery if you're gonna be a tournament fisherman. You know, you gotta be able to deal with it.
People think that's the greatest thing in the world. Oh, you bass fishing and you travel and all that. Yeah.
Yeah,
buddy. Man, that must be nice. Well, come get in the truck with me for a week.
Yeah.
You'll change your mind.
Follow me around for a week and see what you think about this.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you over in
John,
Georgia.
Well, hey, man, somebody wants to call you, pick your brain, come up to Lake Houston and fish a tournament. How they get a hold of you, man?
Yeah, they can always call me on my cell, 281-222-8544. Just give me a call or shoot me a text. So, yep.
All right, my friend. Have a good weekend. Good luck. Good fishing.
Okay.
All right, man.
Yep. Hopefully I'll send you a picture or two.
Bring it. My phone's always open. All right, buddy.
Okay.
See you later.
All right.
All right, that's John Littleton up on Lake Houston. It's time for a break. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 5:18 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Texas City now and check in with Mr. Dave Fremont, Boyd's One Stop and the Texas City Day. Morning, Dave.
Good morning, Captain Mickey.
How's it going?
It's doing A-okay.
That's
doing
good.
All right. I heard you talking about when you hit that 70 mark, things start changing.
It does change a little bit, doesn't it? It gets different.
Yeah, I'm well aware of it now. I'm in the
well, I hate to remind you of that.
I'm in the throes of it right now. I can compare when you hit that 70 mark, if you have to learn to be a truck driver, a big rig truck driver. You got to learn how to downshift, buddy.
Yeah,
you got to be able to. You got to be able to put it to it to where you can slow things down just a little bit and maintain control, and because it starts moving in a hurry downhill. So you got to do some downshifting. So anyway, we got it going on. It's going to be okay. Beats the alternative, that's for sure.
Right.
88 degrees right here on this little.
Boy, it is hot and muggy this morning, isn't it?
Hoo-wee.
Earlier, the Galveston forecast, it showed it was 86 or 87 down there when I did the weather, and it said it feels like 96. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Come on, man.
Yeah. Man, when I come out of the house in League City, I leave the house about 10 after 4, and it was very little wind, you know, off the coast. I mean, I was thinking, oh, man, and it always fools me. It doesn't surprise me. Anyway, I go, man, it's going to be kind of slick out there on the water, but no way. As I started inching my way here, that wind has picked up, and it's blowing pretty good.
And that's something when you get down by the bay, it does that, man.
Yeah, and it's good and choppy. The water is choppy. But there's been I passed by a few lights, fellas with the generators going out there throwing some plugs, and the water still looks pretty good. How long that'll last, as long as it stays out of the south, it won't hurt things too awful bad until it really gets rough. But Mickey, this time of year, I don't want no bad storms to befall anyone, but I sure don't mind when the weather changes a bit and stirs things up and maybe get a bull tide or two and just kind of make us start thinking fall ain't too far behind. You mentioned that maybe every now and then we get a decent September and October, but then there's times when it seems like summertime just wants to have a death grip on us all the way up into the first part of October.
Well, but we go from sometimes it'll run into November before you get that first good cool front, and you just go from summer to winter.
It's
crazy.
Yeah. Well, as we mentioned a while ago about our age and such, we've been around enough to make some comparisons, and it's just, I'm looking right across now towards Dollar Point, Dollar Bay out that way, and I can remember Septembers that were, I won't say they were cold, but they were down. It was a weather change for sure. And we were wading and catching flounder, good flounder in September. I swear, I think they were actually starting their move in September enough to where you could actually tell. I mean, some good solid flounder being caught. And I don't know, just kind of slowly graduated to where we didn't start seeing a run and on into very late September and early October, and now
it's late November and early December when the best run is, you know.
Yeah, the new regulation just kind of burnt me in terms of trying to even keep up with them anymore. But anyway, it seemed like up until they threw those limits or made them non-existent, even in middle of November or November and half of December. It's all changed up, but I bet if we live long enough, some of that stuff will come back. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if some of these kids and grandkids and great grandkids, they might see a cycle change and things might get cooler. There'd be people, these climate people that argue about that, but it could happen. It might switch around.
Oh, what a controversy that is.
Yeah, but in the meantime, we're going to keep on fishing until we can't. It's been pretty much, as everybody's mentioned, about same old, same old. But I have talked to a couple of cats that I know that seem to be pretty reliable that have been out here around Mosquito and picking up a few trout. Some of them have been sneaking out here at nighttime when I ain't looking, and they're out there out there wading and catching some nice trout during the nighttime. And
They had caught some nice trout before that big full moon.
Oh, I but, wouldn't like waiting there at night with all them sharks, man.
Yeah, I haven't waited at night in a long time. I don't even take a shower at night, man. I don't want to get in that water. I can't see.
But and I was waiting the top end of Trinity Bay one time. This was back when we had that big run back there. We decided, hey, we're going to go wear them on a full moon. We're going to go wear them big trout out in the dark when nobody's out there. And we get up there, and the bite was terrible. I mean, slicks popping everywhere. We're waiting that moon. It was real bright and straight overhead, and you could see dark balls of shad swimming in the water. That water was real clean, and we're throwing topwaters and everything. We'd catch one here and there. It was nothing like we anticipated. And we saw this big black spot headed kind of to us. And, boy, we're throwing topwaters all over it. And it got close to us, and it was a huge shark. I don't know how big it was big. We went and got in the boat. And about 30 minutes before daylight, we got back in the water and got a few blow-ups. And then as soon as that sun broke the horizon and it got a little bit light outside, those fish went bananas. We were on them fish all night long, and we couldn't get them to bite in the darkness, even with that moonlight. But when that sun came up, they went nuts. That's my night fishing. You know, I've done it several times, yeah. And it's the same way. I never have tore them up at night unless you're under the lights, you know, and you catch smaller trout. But
right,
weird.
Yeah. We used to come out at, when I was a kid, my dad would load us up and we'd go in. We'd launch right here on the dike, and we would go out and fish dollar. And, of course, back then it was, I hate to use that term, meat hole, but back then it was for catching a bunch of sand trout, Mickey, and that's what we ate. And he froze them up, froze them fillets up, and used half-gallon milk cartons, put them in the freezer, you know. And
right.
That's what we would eat sand trout an awful lot. People say, they don't freeze well. Hey, you'd be surprised. And when you got hungry kids, they don't complain about if the fish is a little mushy. Just put some cornmeal on it and some grease and eat
longer.
It and shut up.
Make it crispy.
There you go. But there, we would have some, we'd do some, not wading so much, but just in that old boat, we'd sit out there, and even on a, not a morning like this when it's pretty breezy, but on some of them calm mornings, we'd even make it out to Half Moon and fish around there. I mean, just have a ball catching them sand trout. You catch a couple of small ones, and from then on, you didn't need any more shrimp for bait. You used cut bait and kept going.
Cut sand trout, best bait there is.
Man, yeah, they were cannibalistic, to say the least, and catch a mess of them sand trout. Just don't hear about that too much anymore. I'm not going to say we caught them all, because we didn't, but it's just conditions have changed. And
yeah,
it's kind of sad.
Thing.
But we used to catch them gulf trout and sand trout and big old croaker and such.
Yep.
I don't know. It won't be long. We'll find out if there's going to be any kind of a croaker run this year. Last year, quite a few people sat out there on the dock, especially at night. A lot of the folks will pile up out there and use them small pieces of shrimp and catch them croaker. Some of them still got some pretty good size to them, but we'll see how all that happens. Looks like there might be some kind of a land-based fishing tournament going to go on the dike this weekend. There's quite a few people that are already setting up their overhangs for shade and getting things lined
claiming
up for the
weekend.
Claiming
their territory, getting their spots.
Yeah, coming out here and staking a claim.
That's it, buddy. Like a gold rush.
they'll do their thing. So they got that going on, and Bull Red runs right on the edge. Here we are, the middle of August, Mickey, and it's gonna start flying by. People say, man, I'm running behind already on getting the feeders, corn in the feeders, and all this stuff. Just everything will start taking off in a hurry. If you ain't got it going in that direction now, you're gonna fall way behind.
That's exactly right. Well, how's the bait situation look for the weekend?
looks really good right now. Shrimpers have been going out on a regular basis and bringing in pretty good deliveries of live shrimp, Mickey. And then we got a big croaker delivery yesterday as well. So there's plenty of those slimy powerhouse croaker in the tank. And so we're looking good. I think there's even supposed to be a delivery of finger mullet coming in. The demand for those will be picking up as people start getting out trying to catch a flounder or two, catch a few more anyway. So there'll be a delivery of mullet come in later on this afternoon. And plenty of dead bait and all that good stuff, Mickey. And I walked through just a while ago, and things are looking good. The folks are chomping at the bit to help anybody out that needs it. And as far as on the eating front, the grill's been running a real good special on a one-pound poor boy. That sounds just like what the doctor ordered.
And, I saw that yesterday or day before yesterday on Facebook. I'm going, man, should I drive all the way to Texas City or not? It made me hungry. I saw that big old poor boy. I said, that shrimp poor boy is hard to beat.
It is. I put on that little old ad. I said you could take that poor boy and split it in half and share it with someone, or if you're like me, you're going to eat the whole thing all by yourself and just keep
or
on going.
Throw it at an ice agent. The Subway thing.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, all right, buddy. We'll give them some information how they can reach you guys down at Boyd's and how to get there or what have you, address or something.
All right, Mickey. Thank you very much. Boys, one stop, 227 Dyke Road. As soon as you come up on Dyke Road, we're on the right-hand side.
Can't miss it.
Yeah. And if you ain't, and then when you're heading in, well, I think we're on the left-hand side.
That's usually where it works. Go over the hump and look to the left and pull into the Cajun Grill and get something to eat and take it home with you. You bet, man.
There you go. 409-945-4001 is the number. And Mickey, thank you very much. Always good to talk to you on Friday. And everybody, be careful, and we'll see you next Friday.
Have a nice, warm, safe weekend. See you, man.
Thank you.
All right, Dave. See you, buddy. All right. BigCashSnapper.com. The Big Cash Snapper Tournament, it's wrapping up its first annual series with a free entry snapper tournament. That's right, no entry fee. Fish anywhere along the Texas coast, get all your friends together, and you can fish on Friday, September 5th from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. and bring your best three snapper to the weigh-in at Rusty Hook Ranch in Matagorda on Saturday, the next day, September the 6th. Have them there by 6 p.m. Free tournament entry in first place. $5,000, second place, $2,500, third place, $1,500. And they also have side pots for Big Snapper, King, Ling, and Dorado. And then afterwards, you can join in after the weigh-in for food, live music, and they'll be having a fundraiser for the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association. Details at BigCashSnapper.com. That's BigCashSnapper.com. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 537 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down Galveston Way and check in with Captain Steve Hillman this morning. Steve, good morning. What's up, man?
Good morning. I was just talking to Jace about cooler weather and football season. I'm ready for both of those things.
Yep, he is too.
Man, it got warm out there yesterday.
Yes, it did.
Those first round of storms went through, and it slicked off like 10 o'clock, man. It got hot. Of course, it's supposed to. It's August, and it's Texas.
Yes.
Supposed to be hot.
That's normal for here.
Right. But it really hasn't been
normal,
that bad.
But it is.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, we've had a bunch of pop-up storms on the bay in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I wish I could get them over my way. Man, if you don't want to get rained on, just fish around Umbrella Point. Never rains.
Yeah, that's crazy. They have been staying more south.
Yeah, south and to the west side over there.
Yep. Yesterday,
rain every day in Santa Fe, don't you? Just about.
We've had quite a bit, honestly. Yeah.
Every time I look over that way, there's a thunder bumper.
Mm-hmm. I've fished 5 out of the last 7 days. And
dang, you've been grinding.
I don't have like what's Charlie always say? I didn't get any takers for today. No takers.
No takers? No takers?
Yeah, but I didn't try real hard, to be honest. I was kind of ready. I've had some super, super slow days, and I've had some really good days. It's been really all over the board for me. Really, in the last 3 weeks, it's been kind of a roller coaster for me. A lot of it has to do with weather. We've had
weather
some days
where we
really got squeezed. Yeah, moon, tides, and weather.
Yeah.
You know, that I fished last Saturday and had one of my longtime customers, Jeff Wagner, and his little girl. And it was brutal, man. I think we had 3 keeper trout and the flounder and caught a bunch of little ones. But it just it was right there around that full moon, maybe a day or two the backside. And it was just horrible. And then Monday, same deal. I had Lance Vincent and his wife, Jody, and we had a real late start. We had to wait probably an hour, hour and a half for the storms to clear out.
Mm-hmm.
And we got out there and the wind kicked up. The storms to the west were sucking in this east northeast wind. I looked at my phone at Eagle Point, it was gusting to 25, and we were trying to fish out in the middle. it was brutal. We had to seek refuge. We had to go in Back Lake where I shouldn't be right now because of the time of year. It's, you know, you're fishing in bath water and 3 foot of water. It's not going to work. but it was either that or take it to the house. I'm just trying to buy some time until the storms dissipated, and caught one flounder, one keeper flounder, and some dink trout, doing all that stupid stuff. And then the wind got manageable, and we tried to get back out to the middle. Water was dirty, and I just ended up having to do stupid crap. And we only fished for like 2.5 hours and did more running than anything. And had 3 trout and a flounder that day. And I'm like, good God, man, I don't know how much more of this I can handle. And then finally Tuesday, everything started clicking, and it's been pretty good fishing since then. Yesterday was just, excuse me, yesterday was just a slow start, and then it finally got going. It ended up being pretty good, but
that's what it did for me Tuesday. It was slow till about 10:30.
Really?
Pick and peg. Well, there was so much garbage too, you know, all the skippies and gaffies.
Oh my God, dude. It's bad, isn't it? It's bad. It's I fished up closer to you one day, and same, I saw the further north I went, the more crap.
The trashier it gets, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's happening right now in our bayous and rivers and everything? The shad hatch is unreal, and all those shad balls are coming out, and it's attracting all that garbage. And,
yep.
What a mess.
Yeah, yesterday, you know, it's a disaster. I mean, we'll be catching nice trout, and then all of a sudden, we had a quadruple hookup yesterday on gaff top. A quadruple hookup on gaff top. I mean, it was disgusting. And I'm running back and forth down the starboard gunnel just with my pliers, just flipping gaff top.
Flipping them off. Very nasty.
Yeah, and
man,
I'm like, y'all do not cast again. Do not cast here. We're leaving.
And that's another good reason to mash your barbs down right there so you can get them off easy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But then we finally got the really good trout going yesterday. Caught a bunch of, not a bunch of little ones. We caught some more undersized yesterday than we did Wednesday. But the longer we fished, the bigger the trout got. But we had some ladyfish, giant ladyfish, just randomly in the middle of these trout. You know, they're all feeding on that's what I was telling them yesterday. They're all feeding on the same things. You know, they're all feeding on shad, the gaff top, the trout, the ladyfish. They're all eating the same stuff. And you're exactly right. And have you noticed that when you're out there and it's kind of slow, and then those shad start buzzing, they start flickering on the surface, just flipping.
Yeah.
That's when the bite kind of lights up a little bit. you know, when I'm not seeing any surface activity at all, and I'm not seeing a lot this week as far as mullet and stuff, we're getting bit a little bit, but it's not great. But, man, when you start seeing those shad pop up, I mean, for us at least, our bite's been lighting up a little bit. Wednesday was the most incredible bite I've seen in I don't know how long. I mean, it was crazy. I had this guy who's fished me several times through the years, Gary Greer and his buddy Jeff. And the bite was – we caught over 60 keepers in like 3 hours. It was insane. You know, and 3 days, 4 days before that, we caught three. You know, it's just – that's how random everything is for me right now. And it's conditions, a lot of it. But I think these fish – and you've been around a little bit longer than me, but you've probably seen it. But I think these fish, they're in the heat of the summer, these trout, they almost act like they do in the dead of winter, where they'll feed real heavily for a day, and then they might not feed good for 2 days. It's weird.
It's kind of like every 2 or 3 day pattern, you know. That's summer thing, you know.
Yeah, and the same thing happens in the winter. But in the winter,
it's all about that metabolic rate, I guess.
I don't know, man. But
they slow it down in the summer and slow it down in the winter.
Yep.
Sounds good. That's good theory.
Well, I mean, I'm witnessing it, and I'm fishing some of this. I took Ken and his daughters right to the Juggler Vein yesterday. I mean, right where me and Gary and Jeff just put a whooping on them on Wednesday. Caught one there. Now, the conditions were a little bit different. We had storms blowing up all around us and southwest wind. It was probably blowing about 12. Wasn't great, but it wasn't horrible. Water was decent. Could not get anything going. And we ended up catching them in a different place yesterday. And it wasn't anything like Wednesday, but it wasn't bad. Wasn't bad fishing. Caught 20, 25 fish. You know, I think got all that. We had 15 legal fish. But we came in at a little after 11 o'clock. You know, it was so hot.
Yeah.
But the bite was actually going off when we came in yesterday. But my God, who wants to? There was no wind and no current. I don't even know why those fish were eating. The tide was completely gone and there was no wind.
Well, I guess it was just. My fish ate Tuesday was on the backside of that incoming. You know, when it slowed up, that's when the bite got better. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. But what I was going to say about this feed, but how they fed so heavily on Wednesday and not so much yesterday, when I was cleaning their fish, every single trout, you couldn't squeeze another shad in there, and they were digested. They weren't that day's meal. They were from the day before.
Yeah, when they're real mushy like that. And then when you grab them and squeeze them, that gray matter squirts everywhere.
Yeah, brown and gray, and it stinks so bad. But everything is still for me on lighter colors, chartreuse, silver glitter, bass assassins, lime truce. And then I found an old pack of Cocohoe minnows, chartreuse, silver glitter. And we burned through those the last 2 days, burned through all of them. And they work just as good, you know. I think when the bite gets going like that, I'm not 100% sure it matters all that much.
Yeah, everything we caught Tuesday was on pearl or glow, you know, chartreuse.
So lighter colors.
Lighter colors,
so how was y'all's water up there?
It was okay. It's about a 2-foot visibility. Good trout green, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's
pretty
up.
Good, man. Yeah, it doesn't take long.
You can mess it up and destroy the bay in a matter of days, and then it takes weeks and weeks for it to come back, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But we haven't had enough rain, really, and the river's been, the Lake Livingston Dam has been down now for a while.
Yeah, and about 3 weeks now since any kind of flow.
With the tide exchanges, especially at night, and then the evaporation just from the heat, the salinity is really getting up there. I mean, we were down. Maybe it was Lance and Jody Monday. I don't remember. All my days were running together, but we went way south one day, And a lot of it had to do with storms, water clarity, that kind of deal. And man, that Gulf water, I was right in the lower. If I'd have gone any further south, I'd have been in the Gulf, put it that way.
Right.
But that water coming in through the jetties was beautiful. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hey, that water, even around the end of the Texas City Dyke, when I went past the dyke, I didn't stop and look, but I guarantee you could have seen 4 feet down. It was beautiful. Oh, and we've seen, in the last week, we've seen two pompano jump out of the water. You know, they jump out sideways.
Oh, remember that?
Yeah. Remember that, those drought years and up your way? I'll never forget.
Oh, yeah, we had them everywhere in the bay up there. Yeah, man.
That was crazy.
Turtles,
and,
too.
And we caught a baby ling one day. Seeing a lot of sea turtles. That water's salty everywhere. Saw two sharks yesterday just swimming around on the surface.
Boy.
Girls got a kick out of that. While fishing was slow, they were looking at jellyfish and sharks and all this. I'm like, man, this is so boring. Then finally our fish
taking
started.
Them on a birding tour.
Yeah, I need to start doing that, man. As many slow days as I'm having.
Take them over to the burning bush and look for birds.
Did I tell you about that duck I caught over that duck?
Yeah, that baby duck is a little squealer, little pelvis tree duck.
Yeah.
He didn't make it, though.
No, he didn't. He died. But
yeah, he died of a broken heart. His mom left him.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know, man.
I'm surprised something didn't eat him swimming around on the water over there. I'm surprised a big bull red or a shark didn't eat that baby duck swimming around out in the middle of nowhere.
Well, if I'd have left him there, would have.
Good top water, just let, man.
I should have just let nature run its course. But,
and it will.
Yeah. But no, overall, it's not bad. I've got a couple days off.
Oh, I got a couple of texts, too. People want to know about your spray guards for your transducers. The best thing to do is call you or text you, right?
Yep, just call me or shoot me a text. I've sold a lot of them. Excuse me. I've sold quite a few just because of your show. I appreciate it. But now
it's a cool product. A lot of people don't like that water spraying up and getting all over their engine like that, and it works.
Yeah, when that... Yeah, it works beautifully, and you don't have to poke any holes in your transom.
Just loosen the screws, slide it over the bracket. Set screws, set it right in there on your screws. Loosen them up, slide it in, tighten it back up.
That's it, and it'll save your motor, man, and it keeps blowing all that salt water up under your cowling and stuff.
Sure will. All right, man. Well, hey, throw them out that number. Somebody wants to call you about going fishing or buying one of those spray guards, man.
All right, Mickey, I appreciate it very much. 409-256-7937.
All right, well, get you some rest. Rest up for the next run.
Heck yeah.
All right, Steve-O. Hey, we'll see you, buddy. Good talking to you.
Right.
Thanks for the report.
All right.
See you, man.
Thank you. All right.
Later. All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.